We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by Airvan Moving, the official mover of Husky football, and your next move.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Rip, I'm just curious, through three games, how you would evaluate where your defensive line has been and how they've played?
Just okay. You know, we gotta stop the run better. I think anytime you give up, you know, what we gave up versus Michigan, you know, you're never going to be happy about that. So we got to continue to grow and improve and, you know, keep getting better at getting off blocks and finishing plays and making tackles. You know, missed a lot of tackles that week two. So we got to continue to get better.
What makes Cal a difficult team to defend in the run game?
They're a physical football team. They're physical up front. They play with a lot of tight ends. They got two backs that are, you know, 230 pounds, and they run hard. And even the quarterback, I mean, the quarterback's not a small guy. He's, you know, 6'3", 230. I mean, so they got big people, you know, big people handling the football. So that always makes it tough. You watch their games, those guys break a lot of tackles, man. They run the ball hard, and they fall forward. So, I mean, that's definitely something that they do really well and that we're gearing up for.
When you changed roles over the offseason, what would you want to bring to the offense, or defensive line? What did you really want to – what was your point of emphasis there?
I think the biggest thing is just energy, effort, and passion for the game. Like those big guys playing the game hard, running to the football, finishing plays. That was a big point of emphasis for us all season. And as far as the energy that they've been bringing, I've been pleased with. But, you know, we've got to have results on the field. We got to make more plays and get off blocks and tackle the ball carrier.
This is obviously, you know, a very proud defense and a proud defensive line. And when you have a game like Michigan where, you know, they run for 330 yards, what's the message to that group coming out of that to try to build off of an experience that I'm sure you were?
Yeah, I think the message is pretty clear right after the game. I mean, you don't have to say a whole lot. You know, they rushed for 330 yards. So everybody's pretty disappointed. But, you know, next day, you're in a 24-hour rule. You bury the game, and you got to get better from it, and you got to keep going on. You got 10 more opportunities after that game. So nobody's going to feel sorry for us, you know, after we play a team. Like, doesn't matter who you play. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Your next opponent's not going to feel sorry for you. So we got to roll on. We got to learn from it and get better. And I think our guys did a good job of doing that next week. But now it's the same thing. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Nobody's going to think anything differently of us. Cal's not going to think that. So, I mean, we got to roll on and keep getting better and getting back to work.
What have you –
so, Rip, of the two-man front, you had like four different starters this year, shuffling guys in, giving them a shot, I guess. Or I don't know if there's been injuries involved. But are these guys – would you consider them still young? Because nobody other than – I think Taki's the only one who started all last year and all this year. Are they still young and in development, or what? How would you describe it?
Yeah, I think we got a young group of guys. I mean, but I mean, I've been pleased with their poise and how they've handled these games. But yeah, you got a young group. you know, Taki and Thule played a lot or quite a bit as redshirt freshmen. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Taki was the only guy who started last year, and Thule and Bandis got some play last year, but it was only in four games. And so it's a young group, but, you know, they're an eager group. They're an eager group to get better, and I've been pleased with their work ethic.
Couple true freshmen, Quao and Voy, who have gotten in there, which is not easy for an interior defensive lineman. How have you seen those guys step up, and what's been your assessment of those guys through three games?
Like I think I said it about a month ago. I mean, they're very poised individual. The moment's not too big for those guys, and they bring a great deal of energy to that group. I mean, you watch Voy flying around on Saturdays making tackles 30 yards downfield. I mean, so I've been very pleased with those guys and what they bring to the group, man. They're a breath of fresh air. And for the whole defense, I think, just being young and full energy every day, being the same, and it's been really good for our group.
You've got a lot of players in rotation on the D-line. How do you kind of work that through games? Is it situational, kind of scheme-based, or is it just who you feel is performing best, maybe?
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout the week you watch how guys practice, you know, and if they earn those reps in practice, then I'm going to give them those reps. I'd like to keep those guys somewhat kind of fresh, you know, for the second half of football games. But if they earn it in practice and they practice hard, then those guys will play. I'm a true believer in that.
He was one of those first guys who was playing in this past game, and obviously he's been playing a lot, but what has he done to earn those reps, and what's kind of the next step for him in his development?
Yeah, I mean, I see if you look at base, I mean, he was a starter week one for us in base. I see all three of those guys as, I guess, starters. But he's put it on tape and practice, and he's practiced really hard, and he's played hard, and he's made a couple plays, and it finally paid off this past week. But, yeah, he's definitely earned those reps, and the kid shows up every day, and he works very hard. He's very smart. He knows the defense like the back of the hand. So he's definitely earned that.
What did you see him do on the strip set?
He had really good tech. First of all, he's running through the ball. You know, we call him money tackles. Anytime a D lineman's making a tackle on the numbers, call it a money tackle. So that's a big time play because it's out there on the numbers. And he just tackled with great technique. It was great dog tackle, head out, strike zone hit, and good things happen when you do things the right way. So that was awesome. I was very happy for him. I think that was his first career sack too. So I mean, that's always fun to see.
Your position group has a real legacy here at Washington with Vita Vea and Grimes and Shelton and Levi. Do you guys talk about that? And who? I always thought maybe Latula Gassano might be the next one, you know, to kind of fit that role that he's still, you know, learning his trade, I guess. Do you guys use that as all that legacy thing at all with these guys?
Yeah, I think the guys are very aware of it. I don't think we use it at all. I mean, we talk about more the tradition as a defense as a whole, like how we expect to play defense, you know, here at Washington. But I don't believe in comparisons. I'm like, hey, Thule, you gotta be like Vita Vea. I'm not a believer in that. I think comparisons are death. If you have an 18 to 22 year old kid trying to compare himself to somebody who's a ninth round draft pick and did all these great things, I mean, that's just not fair to ask of them. So no, I think all those guys, whether it's Thule, Taki, any of them, it's like that. No, don't compare yourself to anybody else. You got to be the best Thule or Taki or Jacob that you can be. You can't be anybody else. So, but yeah, those guys are aware of it, but no, we don't talk about it as specifically D-line. We talk about it as a defense, as a whole, as a unit. All right, how we're supposed to play, what the standard is.
Hey, Rip, you talked about the rotations, keep you guys fresh. I was curious if there's a mentality like the running backs, they always talk about wanting to try to get into a rhythm or playing the hot hand, so to speak. Is there any, it sounds simple, but is there any sort of carryover to the defensive line? Do you see a guy playing well and all of a sudden, okay, we got to keep him in, even if that's not the number of snaps that we thought he might play?
Well, I think you got to look at who you're playing too. Like Arkansas State, you know, they're a really up-tempo offense. They, you know, they're trying to come in here and run 100 plays. Now, that didn't happen. But you have to, you know, if you're in a game like that, you got to play guys early, right? So, you know, you don't have maybe your starters playing 30 snaps in the first quarter or whatever it is. You got to keep guys fresh early. So, yeah, I think it depends on the game you're playing, the team you're playing, what type of offense they are. a lot of factors go into it. Also, how they practice. I mean, like I said, you know, if a guy doesn't earn the reps in practice, then he won't get them. And everybody in the room knows that. But, yeah, I think there is a rhythm factor into it, too. Yeah, you want guys to get in a groove. But especially with big guys, you got to keep them, you got to keep their energy up. So you got to spell them early.
He's got like a 330-pound frame, and the rest of the guys are all considerably smaller. Do you need a big guy like that to plug the, you know, the line?
Yeah, I mean, size is great. I mean, yeah, absolutely. We would like to be, you know, big up front. That's the goal.
All right. Come on. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.